You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 11, Episode 8 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In this season, we're focusing on lessons from the book of Proverbs. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the wise man's warning about the adulteress. Let's get started. The passage we're going to be looking at is Proverbs chapter 7, and really goes through the whole chapter, verses 1 through 27. There are several passages in the book of Proverbs where you have the wise man warning about the adulteress and warning against that type of sin. But we're going to focus our attention here in this episode on this passage from Proverbs chapter 7. So as we start, we're not going to read the entire chapter all at once, but we're going to go through and take one or a few verses at a time, and then make some comments about them and see what lessons we can learn from that. So Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. So here you have the wise man admonishing his son to keep his words, to treasure his commandments. He talks about calling wisdom his sister, understanding his friend. Well, the reason why he is to embrace wisdom and understanding, why he is to listen to his father's word and treasure his commandments, is because he's wanting him to stay from the adulteress, to keep from the adulteress, the one who flatters with her words. And we're going to talk about that as we go through this chapter. But the father is warning his son about these dangers, just as he had in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And here we get to chapter 7, and he's warning the son again. Certain instructions are often repeated for emphasis. And when we think about the topic that's being covered here, that what we're talking about here today, this is a topic that the wise man wanted to impress upon his son. It's a topic that we need to be impressed with as well. So verses 6 and 7. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. You have here the wise man saying that this is what he is observing. We can allow our own experiences and the things that we do, the mistakes we make, to allow us to be in a position to be able to advise others. But we don't always have to be in that position ourselves. We can observe others. And this is what the wise man was doing, that he was looking out his window and then sees this young man. He sees his naivete. He sees his lack of experience and understanding and knowledge about his situation he's in. He's able to observe this. And so the wise man talks about how he sees this young man getting dangerously close to temptation. He's lacking sense, and he's putting himself in a position where he is going to get himself in trouble. But he was oblivious to the trouble that was coming because, as he says, he was lacking sense. In other words, he was not doing what the wise man told his son to do, to keep his words, to call wisdom his sister and understanding his intimate friend. He wasn't doing that. This young man he was watching, he closed his mind to wisdom, and he foolishly put himself in a position to be severely tempted. We need to have enough sense and awareness that we avoid temptation whenever possible. Now, we cannot avoid all temptation, but there are certain situations, and this is what the wise man is talking about. There are certain situations where we are putting ourselves in unnecessary temptation, and we need to avoid that whenever possible. So verses 8 and 9, it says, passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. This young man was foolishly putting himself in a dangerous situation. He was in the wrong place It says he was near her corner on the way to her house at the wrong time, in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, when there is more of a temptation to do something that you might otherwise be caught doing. But this young man is in this place, not by chance, but this is by choice. He put himself in this situation. He took the way to her house. And so he's not just here just because he happened to find himself here. This is him being foolish and putting himself in harm's way. In verse 10, it says, "Behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart." We have the adulteress in chapter 6 and verse 26 described as an adulteress, one who hunts for precious life. She is actively trying to capture someone in sin. Here, after this naive young man foolishly takes the way past her house, she seizes the opportunity to go out to meet him. And the first thing that the wise man says about her, besides the fact that she is coming out to meet him, the first description of her is about her clothing. She wears, as the King James says, the attire of a harlot, which is going to just add fuel to the fire of any lustful thoughts that he might have about her, that she is inviting this type of attention. This is deliberate. This is not something that, well, she just happened to be not clothed properly. This is intentional. She is, as the verse says, cunning of heart. The one lesson we need to take from this is that what any woman needs to remember is that if she goes out dressed like this, dressed as a harlot, now we're not told exactly what she was wearing, but when we think about one who would be dressed as a harlot, what that means is that she is dressed in such a way as to invite not just attention, but to invite lustful thoughts. That she is trying to get the attention of someone who would look at her in that way. And so if a woman goes out and she's dressed this way, she is inviting lust. She is complicit in the sin of one who lusts after her. Now, he's still responsible for guarding his own heart and his own mind. But regardless of whether her intention was to seduce him or not, now the harlot here, that was her intention. But someone who's just dressed in this way, but that's not, maybe not their intention, maybe they didn't think about what they were wearing, they are still inviting this type of sin on the part of the one who lusts after them because they are dressed in this way. So that's an important point to remember for women thinking about what type of clothing they are to wear. They need to make sure that you are dressed in a way that does not invite lust. It's not to excuse the man who lusts, but don't dress in a way that invites that type of attention. Verses 11 and 12, it says, "She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner." This woman is the opposite of the one that Paul described in 1 Timothy 2:11, who is the quiet and submissive wife. This woman, this adulteress, is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home because she's not interested in her God-given role in the home. That she is wanting to go out, she's wanting to not fit into that role and that position. She is now in the streets, now in the squares. She lurks by every corner. She's boisterous and rebellious. She is not the woman with a modest heart and a modest disposition. So then in verses 13 through 17, it says, "She seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, 'I was due to offer peace offerings today. Today I've paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon.'" Solomon, as he's warning here about the adulteress, he says that she will do everything she can to make the act of adultery convenient. She has already been described as one who is coming out to meet the young man. He doesn't have to go knock on her door. She comes out to meet him. and she's dressed as a harlot in order to incite lust in his heart. She is wild and rebellious, suggesting that she's interested in fulfilling any worldly and sensual desires that she may have rather than submitting to the will of God. And we've already seen that she's in the streets and in the squares. And then in these verses that we just read, verses 13 through 17, she initiates the affair. When it says in verse 13, she seizes him and kisses him. When she makes the statement that she made about the peace offerings, this suggests that, at least in her mind, she has fulfilled any religious obligation she may have had. And so now she's free to do whatever she pleases. This is the mentality of a lot of people, even in the world today, that, well, if I do this in religion, if I serve God, if I go to the worship service, then, well, that's my obligation there, and then I can live in the way I want the rest of the time. She is saying that, well, I've done this. You know, she's not a completely terrible person. She's offered her peace offerings. She's done that, but now she's opened herself up. Now she can do this. She can do as she pleases. She makes this young man feel wanted by stating that she sought him earnestly, while also implying there, when she says, I've sought you earnestly, that she was ready for the affair without any persuasion from him. She's prepared the place for this to happen, that she spread her couch with coverings and linens from Egypt and all of these things. She has made everything ready. Any roadblock that might delay the affair and make this man, young man, think that I shouldn't be doing this, that anything that would stand in the way of that act of adultery, that would cause him to pause and say, wait a minute, I don't need to be doing this. Well, she's taken all that out of the way. She's made it completely convenient. She has taken all of that and made it where everything is ready. And so he doesn't have the time to realize the terrible mistake he's about to make and flee from her. So she's done everything she could to remove that. The verse 18, she says, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. Her offer is appealing to many people. This offer that she's making, let us drink our fill of love until morning, the appeal is, let's satisfy sexual desires without any long-term commitment. Her invitation is only until the morning. That's it. Nothing after that. And so it's all about fulfilling one's desires, sexual desires, without any sense of responsibility. God designed marriage or sexuality to be in marriage. Well, in marriage, also you have a responsibility to one another, that you fulfill that in a relationship where you have an obligation to one another. Well, the world in general, and this woman as she's being described here, she doesn't care anything about that. Well, this is just until morning. No commitment, no obligation, no responsibility. Just, we'll just fulfill our desires here. Then in verses 19 and 20, she says, my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. One of the dangers of committing adultery with another man's wife is having to later deal with the jealous husband. The wise man talked about this in Proverbs 6, verses 33 through 35. But she convinces this young man that no one's going to catch them, that her husband, he's not going to come home. He's on a long journey. He's not going to be home anytime soon. Of course, even if no one would find out about this, even if this woman's husband never found out about this, this young man needed to understand what Joseph in Genesis 39 understood, that God would know. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he says that, how could I do this and sin against God? But in the heat of the moment, one who is being tempted often forgets God. And so if the promise of not being caught by this woman's husband, well, now all of a sudden that becomes more appealing or becomes easier to give into this. In verses 21 through 23, it says, with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. After all that she does to seduce him, verse 22, it says, suddenly he follows her. Suddenly his willpower gives way to the lust of his heart. Now, Solomon doesn't make any mention of, or specific mention of, the affair after the young man decides to engage in it. Now, obviously, it's implied that this happened. But all of the chapter is about her tempting him, him putting himself in this position, him giving into this. But then when the act actually happens, and they would drink their fill of love until morning on the bed that is sprinkled with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon, that's completely skipped over. Instead, Solomon goes straight to the consequences of the actions: slaughter, discipline, and a snare. Once the sin has been committed and the negative consequences start to take effect, the passing pleasures of sin that Hebrews 11:25 talks about, suddenly they're no longer worth mentioning. Those are not important anymore. That affair that was so tempting at the time, now that's not desirable anymore, because now you have the consequences to deal with. Verses 24 through 27. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims she cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way of Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. The harlot can make adultery convenient, enticing, and seemingly without consequences. But there is no escaping God's judgment. Many have become her victims, and the end result of the sin is death. So as we conduct ourselves and our lives here, we need to be warned. Don't be like this young man who lacked sense. We need to avoid situations where we could easily be put into this type of temptation. When we are tempted, if we get ourselves into that situation, whether by foolishness or we just happen to find ourselves through no fault of our own in a spot where we're tempted, we need to do everything that we can to not give in like this young man did. Remember what the wise man said about the consequences. Again, he didn't mention what actually happened with when this young man finally, suddenly gave in to her. He didn't mention what happened, because really that doesn't matter. He sinned, and the consequences of the sin came from that. We need to guard against sin, especially this type of sin, and instead follow after wisdom so that we can please God.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
If you found this lesson to be helpful, you may want to check out the book, My Son, Hear My Words, Notes on Proverbs. This is a topical commentary that I wrote on the book of Proverbs, so it's a little bit different than a traditional commentary. It breaks up the book of Proverbs by topic and then discusses the various verses that go into those topics that discuss those in that way. There's a link in the show notes along with a coupon code that's good for $5 off the price of the book, along with free shipping. This material on Proverbs is also available as a study guide for use in Bible classes. It's one of a few workbooks published as the Plain Bible Study Guides. There are workbooks also on Ecclesiastes, Leviticus, and the Gospel of John, so you can check those out also as a link in the show notes if you want to look at those. Next week, we're going to be looking at a different type of woman, not the adulteress, but instead we're going to be talking about the excellent wife. Until then, I hope you have a great week.